Good afternoon, everyone. Disraeli once remarked that the youth of a nation are the trustees of posterity. I was recently reminded of this statement by a very interesting experience. I had the opportunity to become rather intimately acquainted with one of these potential trustees, and I thought you might be interested in what we had to say to each other. My introduction to this young man was accidental. I happened to pick him up on the highway down around Columbus. He was a senior in college, and he was on his way home for the weekend. Naturally, I inquired about his college work, what he was majoring in, and what he expected to do after he got out of school and that sort of thing. And our talk gradually turned into a more general discussion of these objectives. In little or no time, we went off the deep end in an examination of one's real responsibilities in life. It was quickly evident that I had not picked up an ordinary youngster. This young fellow had a positive philosophy of life. He had delved beneath the surface of things, and he had come up holding tight to certain convictions. He really began to unwind when we started to analyze what is as against what should be, when we tried to locate the point at which one should let go of ideals and grab hold of realities. I advanced the idea that one could not be idealistic and practical at the same time, that it was next to impossible to be both right and popular. He thought this over a minute, and then he let go of this bit of wisdom. He said, "I get your point, and it may be well taken, but it seems to me that as long as we live in the world as it is, as long as we must depend upon other people for so many of the things we need, it is absolutely necessary that we conform to them. I think the position one should take is to search cautiously for the truth, ever holding in mind what is right, irrespective of popular opinion, but refrain from imposing our ideas upon other people directly. That is, unless we decide to enter into such activity professionally. If we intend to follow ordinary pursuits, we should have high aims unquestionably and keep striving toward them, but not with such aggressiveness and presumption that we find ourselves out of harmony with most people." I urged him a little further by pointing out that many great men of history, men who had left an everlasting imprint upon the progress of civilization, had been very unpopular and very ineffective in their time. This he admitted, but he came right back with a surprising statement that he thought these same men had not made the most of their lives. He wound it all up by saying that he believed it more advisable for one to soft-pedal his loftier impulses rather than to let them run wide open exclusively for the sake of posterity. I don't know what your reaction is to the opinions expressed by this young man, but here is what I think about them. First, if he represents the intelligence of any appreciable segment of the young men of today, we need feel a little concern about the future of our civilization. This young fellow has his feet on solid ground. Not only is his point of view practical, but it is idealistic at the same time. He does not sacrifice one for the other. That's perfect. Many times we have known men of originality, men who did not follow the common pattern, set down as impractical idealists. And for the most part, they were just that. They did not have the balance of this student. And as a consequence, their lights remain hidden under the bushel. Also, we have known men, very capable men, who seem utterly devoid of sentiment and high purpose. And many of them were not misjudged. They, too, would have been improved with a bit of this young man's philosophy. What we seem to get out of all of this is a suggestion that all of us should carry our heads above the pall of human error as far as possible, at least high enough to get a clear vision and a whiff of clean air once in a while. But at the same time, we must hold in mind that for the most part, we are enveloped by a conglomeration of misunderstandings. We simply can't take wings and fly out of it. And most certainly, we shouldn't separate our head from our feet. I agree with my young college acquaintance when he says that the most effective man is the well-balanced man. By all means, we should keep our ideals and our idealists alive. If it were not for them, there would be no advancement, no improvement. And on the other hand, we must always remember that we are running with a pack. Even though we are able to bound a way out in front, able to penetrate the wilderness and clear the way for those who follow, it's questionable whether we would not be of more service to the world if we applied our abilities and our understandings to the present. This thought has been presented for your consideration. Good afternoon.
Company has presented the third in a series of programs for your consideration. We invite you to tune in again next Sunday afternoon at this same time, 1 o'clock, for the fourth in this series. This is the Ohio Broadcasting Company.
This is WHBC in Canton. The time is 1:15.